بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله، we will continue discussing the secrets and philosophy concerning Salat. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have now covered so far meaning of Salat, and then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed 5 times daily Salat for us, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Fajr Salat, why the Zuhur Salat, why the Asr Salat, why the Maghrib Salat, and why the Isha Salat. We also discussed in numerous historical events concerning the various Anbiya alayhi salam, due to their actions, and because of their actions, Fajr Salat, Zuhr Salat, Asr Salat, and Maghrib and Isha came into existence in gratification and glorification. Also, we discussed that the 5 salats have got different units: 2 rakats, Fajr, 4 Zuhr, 4 Asr, 3 Maghrib, 4 Isha. And we mentioned why this is so in the previous discussions. Then we mentioned that Allah Jalla Majdahu has given us farais in the salats, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us those farais. And last week when we stopped, we were discussing the virtues of salat. And alhamdulillah, salat is very important. And we mentioned many virtues. And today, we continue with that. And then I will proceed to discuss more secrets of Salat performance, and we will go on to discuss, for example, why there are 17 rakah, why 17 rakah are farz in 5 Salah. And then, inshallah, we will discuss that the reason for 7 farz and the farz of 17 rakah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the ability, we will discuss also that why do we face the direction of Kaaba in our salah, and the importance of sijda, the importance and reason and rationale for folding our hands in salah, and also why do we read Surah Fatiha so often and the importance of it. And then we will try to discuss, perhaps, if not in this session, why we make sujood, why we make ruku, why we stand in salah. However, understand, from every namaz we perform, there are created thousands of benefits, since it is a collection of worshipping acts. Previously I mentioned that afzalul ibadat, that the best of ibadat is salah. And if you have to just look around, those who are regular in salat, salatul jamaat, in the masjid, inshallah they will be better people generally speaking. Abu Layth Samarkandi, rahmatullah alayhi, he was a great scholar, and it is stated that he was a person having a lot of spiritual inspiration. His famous kitab, Tanbihul Ghafilin, we have translated that and released it in 3 volumes, calling it Admonition for the Neglectful. It is on our website, alislam.co.za. And this person, He had knowledge, and the people around him, the scholars around him, regarded him as a great imam. In many khankas of the world, this kitab, Tanbih al-Ghafilin, they read it, the sheikh generally will read it to his murids. The spiritual mentor will generally read it to his disciples. Even in South Africa, they have started that. And when we traveled to Malaysia, I noticed after Salah, then the Imam will read Tanbih al-Ghafilin of Imam Faqih Abu Layth Samarkandi Rahmatullah Alayhi and explain it to his congregation. It's the most valuable kitab for spiritual upliftment and advices, admonitions, sayings of the Anbiya alayhi salam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, the pious personalities, and the pious personalities obviously headed by Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain. He says, Ka'b bin Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a servant during the days of the Jewish presence in Medina, who after he was ordered in Islam, he quoted Hazrat Musa alayhi salam as saying that the two rakats of Salat of Fajr, which is performed by the Ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will absolve them of all the sins of the night and the day, and they will enter the fortress of our protection. Yeah, obviously we are stating that these sins will be minor in nature, which I keep saying that it does not pertain to major ones. But can you imagine that all the minor sins committed in the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives one if a person performs the Fajr Salat. And they will enter into the fortress of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. There is a hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person performs Fajr and goes out into the world, then he goes under the flag and banner of Islam. And if a person does not perform Fajr and goes out into the world, he goes under the banner of Shaitan. Now, this is a great benefit, emphasizing how important Fajr Salat is. And unfortunately, that on one side we claim that we love Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we want to follow the awliya ikram and we want to emulate the sahaba izam, but Fajr Salat, al-Fajr Salat with Jama'ah in the masjid, we fail to get up. This is a contrary to what we are claiming. And to go out under the flag of Allah, the banner of Allah, means under the protection of Allah, under the blessing of Allah, under the grace of Allah, under the happiness of Allah, under the pleasure. And when a person goes under the pleasure of Allah, Allah will help him throughout the day. Allah will aid him throughout the day. And it is also said the sustenance, the rosy will become easy during the day. And a person, inshallah, will not falter or be harmed. So a person must make the salah. And a person who does not make the fajr and he goes out under the banner of shaitan, that means not under the protection of Allah, not under the protection of the malaika, not under the grace and blessings and boons and favors of Allah, but unfortunately that person is going to be a follower of shaitan. And also in Mazahir-e-Haq is a commentary of the famous kitab Mishkat. Mishkat is a hadith compilation. And in that book, a beautiful example is given that Iman is in the center and there are various fortresses around Iman. The first fortress around Iman, closest to Iman, are the farais, are the obligations. Then after that, the wajibat, the compulsory activities. Then after that, the fortress of the sunnat muaqqidah. Then the sunnat ghair muaqqidah. Then, and sunnat ghair muaqqidah, technically speaking, is mustahabat. And after that is the nawafil, the optional activities. Now, shaitan, arch enemy of Muslims. Unfortunately, today we think man, and unfortunately worse, we think Muslims are our enemies. And the amount of harm, scholars say, that we ourselves have committed upon ourselves, that no other people have done it. It is said that we hurt, injure, backbite, gossip, fight, quarrel, dispute amongst ourselves, whereas Allah repeatedly is classifying shaitan as aduwwun mubeen, as an open enemy, as our arch enemy, as the enemy that we should recognize as an enemy, but we have taken others as enemies. So, the shaitan will try to penetrate and reach the iman. He'll create an impression onto mankind that, listen, nawafil salat or nafil action, that leave it out, it's not important. You have got some shari valid excuse, leave it out. Person leaves it out. Then he starts looking into these sunnat ghair muaqqidah and destroys the fortress of sunnat ghair muaqqidah, and then he will go and crumble and demolish the sunnat. Like how these days you will get now people saying, oh, it is just sunnat to stay in Mina. Not realizing that shaitan is destroying a sunnat activity. And the value of sunnat is slowly leaving our homes. People, first of all, are not placing emphasis like eating on the floor, which is sunnat. Sleeping on the floor is not sunnat. Sleeping on the bed is permissible. But eating on the floor is sunnat, and many pious, righteous homes too, they do not eat on the floor, but they sleep on the floor thinking sleeping is sunnat on the floor. One is that we are not understanding the Shariat. Secondly, we are misinterpreting the Shariat to suit our own ways and means. And thirdly, we got wrong information of the Shariat. What is sunnat, what is not sunnat. That is why at times we do not act upon them. Also, that nowadays they say, no, it is just sunnat to read the tasmiyah while slaughtering the animal. So that means you can leave it out. On the other second breath, they will say, if you leave it out, then that animal is still permissible. Remember, if the animal is not slaughtered, if you do not read the tasmiyah, and the tasmiyah is Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you do not slaughter the animal after recitation of tasmiyah, the animal is 100% haram. And a lot of our chickens, etc., are not slaughtered as per Islamic ritual, as per Islamic precondition. Unfortunately, we consume that, and our du'as definitely are not accepted. So shaitan, he knocks off all these fortresses, and then he finally comes onto wajib, and he creates in a man that, listen, leave the wajib out, and then attacks the farz, and finally, after destroying all these fortresses, shaitan pounces upon the iman and snatches the iman of the person. That is why we should not regard any proven action as small. Once it is adequately substantiated that this action is sunnah, then we should make every effort to perform it and never discard it unnecessarily. He states on that Musa alayhi salam said that since Zohar has four rakah, if you and your people do not pray, then you will not receive the reward for a separate rakat. The first rakat is for forgiveness. The second would make their deeds heavier in the scale of the day of judgment. The third rakat is the prayer of all the malaika requesting Allah's mercy and forgiveness for that person. And the fourth rakat of the Zuhur will be rewarded by opening all the doors of heaven. Now, can you see, just for four rakats of the Farz, the Zuhur Farz, Ka'b bin Ahbar says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first rakat is for forgiveness. Imagine that by just one rakat, Allah Jalla Majdahu, He forgives the person. And when Allah forgives the person, then now he is ready for deeds to be given in his favor. And when Allah forgives, that means he's happy with you, he's pleased with you. And the deeds will be for the second rakat, will be heavier. Because on that day, every person, there'll be nafsi, every person will be running, the mother from the child, and the child from the mother, the husband running away from the wife, and the wife running away from the husband. There'll be every person will be worried about themselves. On that day when the weighings will take place of deeds, deeds will be given shape. Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi writes in Hujjatullah Al-Baligha that deeds, actions will be given shapes and obviously sizes and volume, depth and breadth, and they will be weighed. So on that day, because of our Zuhur performance, those will be made heavier. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who can make anything heavier or lighter. We know of the hadith where just written the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that written on the paper, placed on one side of the scale, will make that scale extremely heavy. Just a small piece of paper, but what's written on that paper is extremely important and valuable and significant and weighty and heavy and mighty. So when Allah wants that deeds to be heavy, He will make it heavy. And the third rakat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness generally go together. That's why in the month of Ramadan, when we divide it into three tens, the first for forgiveness, the second for mercy, and the third for emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. So here in Rakat Salat we are getting this forgiveness from Allah, mercy from Allah. And then when a person is forgiven and also the mercy and grace of Allah is descending, now comes the boons and the favors and the gifts and the reward. That is, all the doors of Jannat are open for that person. He goes on to say that if you and your people read these, then no angel will be absent from praying from your forgiveness. Now can you imagine that when Malaika are requesting for Allah's mercy upon that person, Malaika are requesting for Allah's forgiveness for that person. How this works is very interesting. That we have, just like in man and in Jannat, we have various categories and we have various levels of people and various strata of society. Some clever, some more clever, some pious, some more pious, some wealthy, some more wealthy, some not so fortunate, some fortunate. Now in the Malaika, you have literally millions, and you have them doing various duties, having various responsibilities, and also you will have them doing certain actions. And you'll have some of them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll have some of them carrying the arsh, carrying the kursi, some of them recording in the for every person. And some of them, they are going to question us in the grave. Names you know, Kiram al-Katibin, Munkir al-Nakir, the Mukarribin, Malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that means they are the malaika of the day and the night and the oceans and the clouds and the seas and the waters and the rains. And these malaika, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, then these malaika talk about that person. And these malaika from low level, imagine now, and divide, let's say, a sheet of paper into seven columns. And the low malaikas begin to talk about that good about that person. And they begin to praise that person. And they are happy with that person's activities and deeds and actions. Then they inform the strata above it. And this carries on and on until it reaches the Malaya Ala. Malaya Ala are those group of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's malaika that they will now inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that Allah requires their information, no, as testification to vouch for the creation. And when the banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behaves well, and he performs his salah, does the good actions which Shariat wants him to do, then this movement of information from lower strata of Malaika going up to, right up to Malaya Ala, then the Malaya Ala, that means they are those high-ranking Malaika. And they record it. And they mention it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your servant so and so, he is doing this wonderful actions. And we are explaining that salat is this wonderful action which they are talking about. And alhamdulillah that we can see that these malaika, what they will do, they will inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the decision Allah will make for that person. The decision of forgiveness, mercy, pleasure, happiness. And that person must be blessed that his du'as are accepted. That person must be blessed that he is accepted by mankind. That person must be blessed that people will love him. And also bless him with good fortune, boons and favors, good health and felicity and happiness and tranquility of the heart and peace of mind. All that happens via this information moving upwards to the Malaya Ala, and the nation's condition is also done like that too. That the Malaya Ala are informed about the conditions of the Muslims, and then, alhamdulillah, they inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the information given to him, not that I repeat that he requires it, but just for testification, because remember that when he created man, the malaika objected. Now as testification, that see, that creation, that man that you objected to, that he is performing well, and he is good, and he does not behave badly all the time that you thought that he'll be doing. So the Malaya Ala inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the conditions of the locality or the province or the country, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a decision. That is why it is famous, the ahwal of man, upon that is dependent the faisla, the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the Malaika are making dua for the person, and Malaika are innocent, they are masoom. And when these innocent creation made of celestial light, having no gender, and when they make dua, their dua, inshallah, will be accepted because of their obedient quality to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, inshallah, when they make dua, such a person will not suffer punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Goes on to say that, O Musa alayhi salam, if you and your people read the three salah, three rakah of Maghrib, then at the time the doors of heavens will open. Whatever supplication is made for will be responded to. How fortunate. Especially at the time of sunset, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she should tell her female attendant, that tell me when the sun is setting, because that is the time when the du'as are accepted. And unfortunately, we waste that time. And this does not only pertain to the month of Ramadan. No, it pertains to all months. We have translated one book, and it is on our website, I think, by now, alislam.co.za. That book is original by Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh, The Etiquettes and Places and Times When Dua is Accepted. And you should obtain one of this from the website or any hard copy. That Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh explains when dua is accepted, why dua is accepted, why dua is not accepted, how to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what to ask for, where to ask, when not to ask, and also the times when dua is accepted. Many times what we are doing these days, we read the dua, we do not make the dua. And we should be making the dua, understanding. For example, a person, he makes dua and he will know, Ya Allah, make me steadfast in salah. Now the person made the dua, he must make an effort now and go towards salah. And just like a person, he cannot go under the mizab-e rahmat, hold the ghilaf of the Kaaba and cry before Allah, Ya Allah, I want to have an obedient child, and that person is not married. Now, obviously, how all this is going to happen? There has to be the positive effort towards the dua. That is one point of dua that I want to mention. Secondly, these days we make lengthy, lengthy duas, and we get tired halfway. And thirdly, there is a lot of dua which is made unethically. We make dua, and if you look at the wordings of the dua, we are trying to demand from Allah, not requesting from Allah. We are, as if to say, commanding Allah to do things, whereas we are supposed to be pleading to Allah to do things. And we are making dua as if to say, Allah's right it is that He must give us this. Whereas we are supposed to be like the dog that is going towards his master in hope and in want, and with the tongue hanging, and he is full of obedience. But unfortunately, our method of dua, of making it to, that has become bully in nature and demanding in nature. And also these days, why? Because people are worried, duas are not accepted. When the food is haram, when the clothing is haram, when the water is haram, when everything that we consume is haram, then we come under the fire of that hadith, under the sway of that hadith, wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will come a time when my servant is crying, raising his hands, shedding tears, hair disheveled, and soiled clothing, crying before Allah, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, and his dua will not be accepted because his clothing is haram, his food is haram, his water is haram, and everything that he is consuming is haram. How can that dua be ever accepted? So anywhere where you go, any restaurant, any cafe, that make sure that you will be getting and you'll be eating halal food.